This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 175, where we're going to talk to Laura Rogers, SharePoint extraordinaire, recorded live January 3rd, 2017.
The Microsoft Cloud Show is sponsored by Valid.nl. Valid's motto is stay ahead. Its mission is to enable its customers to excel in their business through the innovative use of IT. Valid is always on the lookout for new colleagues. If you're interested in all things happening at Azure, whether in infrastructure, SQL Server, Office 365, Power BI, SharePoint, or .NET, look them up on valid.nl.
AC, welcome to 2017.
What's up, man? Welcome to 2017. How's it going?
This year's been awesome so far.
It has been. No one's died. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm sure somebody has passed away that, you know, we weren't exactly paying attention to.
Yeah, there you go.
I might have lost my sensitivity contingent with our audience.
Yeah, that is a clock that's ticking though, isn't it? I mean, 27. Actually, I had a really, this is pretty morbid, but I had a buddy of mine explain that it's only going to get worse.
More people are going to die?
Well, more celebrities. Yeah. Because about 40 or 50 years ago is when the sort of the rise of celebrity started. And so now we're just sort of seeing the first wave of those first set of famous celebs dying out. And apparently the rate of celebrity death is only going to get worse.
This has been overthought.
Yeah. Hey, anyway, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm alive. I'm not dead yet.
Just by a stretch.
Nor am I a celebrity, so I'm in good shape. I'm not a celebrity. I'm alive, so I got a good promising year going. No.
You're safe.
Things are good. Things are good. It's But January the 3rd, I'm ready for my kids to go back to school so I can get really back to work. I say that, and neither one of them are here right now, which is freaking awesome.
Yeah, I love my kids. I said to my wife this morning, first day of school, and she's like, yes.
Oh, wait, you have first day of school today?
Yeah.
Oh, you're an ass.
Yeah.
Well, I got two more days.
You guys have a slightly different school year, but she's pretty excited about them going back just for a change of scene.
So I say this as a bit of a, I say it selfishly, right? But I mean, the other side too, I can tell both of my kids, they're ready to go back. They're ready to see their friends more. They're picking at each other. I mean, this is like, it's like the last like 2 weeks of the summer break right now. And you can tell that it's just like going, you guys need to go back and start getting back to your schedules. You do better on a schedule. And frankly, Daddy can't record any classes that he's working on when you guys are home, because as much as you say that everything's going to be nice and quiet, all of a sudden I hear a yell and a Titanfall sound from downstairs. And I'm like going, God damn it, kids.
Yeah, there's all sorts of screams going on in our house. I swear to God, there's limbs being lost sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
But they're back to school today. So they are very excited about going and seeing their friends again, which is awesome.
Awesome. What's up with you? What's new with you?
Took the kids snowmobiling. Nobody died. Still, like, I'm sore though, man. Like,
so the kids aren't celebrities.
It is a workout. Yeah, hopefully not ever. But yeah, it is a real workout, but lots of fun.
Yeah, I saw the pictures. I was a bit jealous, man, especially as I look outside in the gloomy 72 degrees weather. So it'd be nice for it to be a little bit colder. It was 38 degrees. I went out to go run 3 days ago. Had to run 12 miles. 38 degrees. It never warms up the very next day. It was 80 degrees. I'm like, really? I couldn't have had something in the middle there?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was 23 where I was yesterday. So I'm glad to be back to slightly above freezing.
Fun. Nice.
Hey, but this week we've got a pretty exciting guest on the show, in fact.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to this one today. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, so let me quickly introduce Laura and a little bit of her background, and then we'll dive into the topic that we're going to talk about today. But for those of you who don't know, Laura Rogers is on the show today. We're very excited about having her on. She's a SharePoint expert, speaker, author, general all-round information worker guru. She's been a MVP for the past 6 years, but has been in the scene for, you know, many more than that. Lucky number 13 years, I think, Laura. And like I said, seasoned author and speaker around the world. If you haven't seen her speak, she's great to go and take a look at and hear all about great stuff going on in the information worker space. She used to be a member of SharePoint 911 that was later acquired by Rackspace, where she later worked, and now has more recently gone independent. You can find her on wonderlaura.com as well as the Twitterverse and so forth. But welcome, Wonder Laura, to the show.
Hi, guys. Thanks. It's good to be here.
Yeah, thanks very much for coming on the show. You know, it's something we've been looking forward to for quite some time, so we're really glad you could make it and come talk to us.
Oh, thanks. Well, it's actually not cold here. I'm in Birmingham, Alabama, and we're supposed to have snow this weekend. It's supposed to be 6 to 12 inches. So, speaking of weather,
holy moly!
Wow, get your shovel ready.
It's going to be interesting. Maybe we'll have another ice storm. I don't know.
Oh, is that normal? Do you guys get?
No, it only snows once every other year or so.
Wow. And 6 to 12 inches, like, it only snows every once in a while, but then here's a crap ton of snow.
But that's a forecast for a few days from now, so who knows? Yeah.
Gotcha. Nice. There's a 30% chance I'll be correct today.
Yeah.
Hey, so why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your background, just for those of you, maybe the one or two who are listening to this that don't know who you are, and a little bit about what you've been doing more recently.
Sure. My background is actually in server administration. I was at a healthcare company. I was an exchange admin on the messaging team, and I got thrown into SharePoint. Got thrown into SharePoint when some executive said, hey, let's try this SharePoint thing. Here are a couple of servers. Go figure it out.
What can possibly go wrong?
This is the messaging collaboration team that falls in your category, so this is yours now. So that's where. And then I got sent to SharePoint admin training in Minneapolis, and Bill English was my instructor.
Ah,
and that's how I first met him, and first, you know, I wrote a chapter back in, you know, the Moss Administrator's Companion all those years ago. And
hey, we were on the same book.
Yeah, we were.
I forgot about that. That's right. We never crossed paths because, of course, you wrote it in our respective homes, but...
Yeah.
That's right. We worked on the same project together. I forgot about that.
Wow. That was a wee while back now. What year was that, roughly?
2005 was when I went to that class.
Wow. Ooh. So that's over 10 years ago. Just to make us all feel super old.
Yeah, that was the first time I ever heard of AC was when Bill English was talking about him, like he was a celebrity. And he has been ever since then. Anyway, so, but my background there's the book. he's holding it up for the camera.
He's holding it up. Yeah, nice.
My background's in server administration, but I ended up that kind of just wasn't as fun for me. So when we started rolling out SharePoint at the company that I worked for, it's a pretty big company, like 50,000 users, but not everyone's sitting in front of a computer all day. But I really just wanted to shout it from the rooftops. I wanted everyone to know how awesome SharePoint was, but I was just a server admin. But I would start talking to people, start kind of finding those sort of champions in the different remote locations and hospitals and offices and things, and start kind of helping them with their business processes and their forms and things like that and their SharePoint sites. And kind of word just kind of spread that way, because there were only two of us supporting SharePoint, and we didn't ever announce, hey, everybody come use this, because we couldn't have supported it. But anyway, so I ended up enjoying that a lot more than all the logs and the database backups and all that stuff that admins have to do day to day. So that's kind of where I shifted my focus to more, went into consulting and went into more forms and workflows and automating business processes.
Sort of the business end of things versus the server end of things.
Yeah.
Nice. So you ended up working at SharePoint 911 some years back with a few different friends of ours and other community members. Tell us a little bit about that and how you ended up at Rackspace and then obviously off to now do your own thing with IW Mentor.
Shane Young his company, Shane and Nicola Young, owned SharePoint 911, and he sent me a direct message on Twitter one day, something about, hey, how do you like your job? And
let's cut straight to the chase.
Yeah. So, you know, never had any actual formal interviews or anything like that, but they went ahead, and it was a big leap for me to go from, you know, working at a company that, you know, and driving to work every day to working as a consultant and working at home and doing all this remote work and traveling a little. So it was a big decision to make, but I went ahead and went over to SharePoint 911, and that was probably lasted, 5 years, 6, 7 years, something like that.
Wow.
Lasted a good long time. So
yeah,
maybe 4 or 5 years. Anyway, so then Rackspace bought SharePoint 911 about 5 years ago. And then, you know, Rackspace sells SharePoint, hosted SharePoint, and their servers SharePoint servers are in their farm, but they didn't have any consulting. They just had the engineers maintaining the servers. So that's what we did. We did the consulting. And then they eliminated the whole SharePoint consulting department last year. And so then all of us kind of scattered and went our different directions. And I went ahead and decided to start my own company. And it's called IW Mentor for Information Worker Mentor. And it is a SharePoint training company. And I do consulting as well.
Wow, congratulations. That's a nice move.
Been exciting, yeah. And my husband has even quit his job and started working for me a couple months ago. With me.
No. You said that right. You totally said that right. Because even when it kind of goes around, even when it's a little backwards like that, when I guess technically, like my wife helps me, I'm going to say it very deliberately here. My wife helps me with some of the stuff with my business. She does not work for me. I will not say that. But I know that I work for her, at least even when we did Critical Path Training, Ted and I both worked for her, even though Ted and I were the owners of the company, we knew that we worked for her. So I think you said it right. I think that he would be safe to say the same thing, that he definitely works for you.
Yeah. So he's here in the next office.
Very cool. That's awesome to see. Like, you know, I followed your career at all the stuff that you did at SharePoint 911, and your presence or your community presence got to be, you know, was very, very strong reputation in the space. And it's what's cool about what's been fun to follow you is that you have a very specific audience that you talk to, and people, you always know, like, you know, what kind of, it's neat when you talk to people at a conference or you talk to people at an event and say, you know, where do you kind of fall into this whole SharePoint thing? Or you're a developer, you're an administrator, you're an information worker, you're a power user, all these different roles that we have. It's really neat when, I mean, you're one of the few that someone can kind of look at and say, I'm kind of like Laura Rogers. I'm like Wonder Laura. And it's like, oh, I totally know what you're talking
about.
There
isn't really a definition for it, is there?
Oh, there is. It's called Laura. I'm a developer. I'm an IT pro. I'm a business user. I'm a Laura. Okay, I got it.
That's an awesome. The SharePoint, man. What's going on?
Yeah, that's all. It's awesome. It's been fun. And it was really, I was very happy to see when you went on your own from Rackspace. I know there was you've great opportunities at Rackspace, but I mean, you're gonna do awesome on your own. So you have done so far as well. So it's great. It's great to see. Very great to see.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So latest and greatest in the world of IW business productivity seems to be floating around stuff going on in Power Apps and workflow and things like that. So we know you've been focused a little bit on this stuff, but why don't you kick us off with telling our audience, I guess, a little bit about what Power Apps is, what Flow is, and what you've been looking at around these things, and fill us in on a little bit about why this stuff's so exciting.
Sure. Well, Power Apps and Flow kind of can work together. They don't have to, but Power Apps gives you the ability to create business applications without having to do programming. It's client software that you can download from the Windows App Store. It's also something that you can do just in a web interface, but it gives you a design surface to build apps. It's got some similarities to Concepts and InfoPath. I had to mention it because that's what people keep asking me. people keep asking me, can I migrate from InfoPath to Power Apps? Well, you can't really migrate from InfoPath to Power Apps, but hopefully you've got your data and SharePoint lists and things like that that you could tap into with Power Apps, but you're going to be redesigning all of your interfaces and forms. So
will that a manual migration? Like totally manual?
Yeah, yes. As in like we need two screens, right? So you're going to open up your InfoPath form over on the left screen, and on the right screen, you're going to open up Power Apps, and it's okay. We're going to build this one by one. Is that you've got a migration process right there.
Maybe I could take a screenshot of my InfoPath form and insert it in the Power
Apps. Hey, that totally, you know, you laugh at that because I actually know someone who did something, not with InfoPath, but with a different product. We were doing it from a notes to SharePoint migration. And so let's make the form look like notes. Like, I don't think that's what we really want to do anyway.
Yeah.
It's like taking a photo of a paper form and then sticking it in a PDF and then just sort of drawing on the fields in the right spot, right?
But people do that.
Same concept, yeah. Yeah. Nice. Well, the way you described it sounds awfully a lot like how people described SharePoint early on.
This is moving a lot faster, though.
That's good.
You know, so Power Apps is the design interface for building the app and creating all the screens and all the buttons and all the fields for people to fill out and all the lists of things, et cetera. And then Flow is the workflow around it, the workflow to automate your business processes. And Power Apps and Flow can share the same set of connectors. You can connect to all kinds of things, not just SharePoint, though. So SharePoint is just one of the plethora of like 100 different things that you can create connectors to. So you can build a complete business application, tapping into all of your different business data, and not be stuck with just your SharePoint data and having to do kind of kludgy things that people have done in the past to tap into, say, SQL and things like that.
For the audience that doesn't really know what Flow is, and we'll get more into it, but when you talk about connectors, are you talking about things that are kind of like what Zapier or If This Then That, something like that, where I can say if I want to pull data in or be able to read data from, say, Twitter or from Facebook or from like a spreadsheet in Google or in Office 365, is that what a connector is, just making it easy for me to be able to kind of import or export data and process from something else? Is that what a connector is?
Yes, sort of. So really just to create the connectors, what the individual do is just go to the connector screen and authenticate to all those services. Mm-hmm. So all you really have to do is have a way to authenticate to the services. And keep in mind that the end users that will be using the product or the app, whatever the end result is, the flow, have to also be able to authenticate to those services. So the connector is just putting in your authentication information. For example, a new connector just came out for DocuSign. Well, you have to have a DocuSign account to be able to even create the connector to be able to even use it.
And it has to be the end user, you're saying?
Interesting.
I can imagine that causes a few issues.
So if you're using a SharePoint, if you're using a Power App that's got a SharePoint connector in it, or using a Flow that's got a SharePoint connector in it, then you know, Betty in accounting are going to, when you're using the app and you're editing or adding items in a SharePoint list through the app, it's doing it as you, Betty. It's not doing it as the person who created the app.
So when I go to use that Power App then that had that connection to a SharePoint list, do I then have to connect it to the list, or is that something that the author of the application has already built that connection ahead of time and it's just using my account like as my identity to go through and to post that stuff?
The author has already built the connection ahead of time, so it's using your identity.
Okay. Gotcha. So what about DocuSign, though, for example, like an external service? If I'm using this app and I go save something or send something to DocuSign, but that's the first time I've used the app, how does it know who you are? Like, does it pop up an auth dialogue and the user's got to go log in? Or
I think so.
Yeah.
I haven't fully tested some of the more obscure ones, but think that if the user hasn't authenticated to it before, or if your browser or your cookies don't know who you are with that service, it would prompt them to authenticate to it.
Yeah. Mm. Interesting.
But then it would, you know, of course, remember next time.
Yeah, gotcha.
What's the experience like in when I'm building something with, like, say, Power Apps? You know, I was going to do a standard form, like, let's do the quintessential, like, vacation request form in InfoPath. What does that experience look like, or how is that different in terms of both time or effort or simplicity if I'm going to go do it over in Power Apps? Am I looking at something that's about the same process? Is it easier? Is it harder? Does it take more time, faster?
It's extremely different. Power Apps does have a nice visual interface where you're dragging things around on the surface, on the form, to be able to tell, you know, it's what you see is what you get. You'll know what it's going to look like in the final product as you're building it. It is a little intensive when it comes to any kind of extra logic that you might be doing. So it's fairly simple to just whip up a quick form that has just some fields for someone to fill out. But anything having to do with logic behind pressing a button or behind fields, they have a certain function. They have functions that you have to build with a certain syntax. And you have to be able to get a feel for and learn how their functions work and what order to use them in and how. So it is a good amount of a learning curve to be able to figure out the syntax and then how to use your data, whatever your data sources are, in their syntax in building all these functions out. So it's not really programming. You're not typing code out, but you have to be able to type. It's kind of like writing an Excel, you know, formula.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was going to say it's kind of like VBA of some description.
Yeah. So a lot of what you're going to do in the form is you're going to have buttons that take users from screen to screen and submit data or query data from the data sources. But then where Flow comes in is if you want to then, say, make it send an email or make it do something automated that's not something you can immediately see inside of the app.
Mm. Then if I fill the form out, if I'm just using Power Apps, then I can fill the form out and using a connector, I can have that form get saved to, say, a SharePoint list. Okay, and but if I wanted to do something, sorry, my giant Office SharePoint Server 2017 book that we were contributing on just fell off the desk. The thing's huge. God, big it was. I also
look at
can't believe
it's like Encyclopedia Britannica.
It is, and you know what? I also realized I don't think I've ever opened it up. Too, there's the IT pro in me.
I wrote the chapter on web parts.
I was going to ask you which one was. I went back and was looking at the intro when you were in the intro, the one that Bill English wrote, and he's like, "Yeah, thanks to all these people, he listed out the names." I'm like, "I don't even remember what chapter I did." Apparently, I was in there though. My name's in there. But anyway, so if I wanted that form to not just go to a SharePoint list, but if I want to do other stuff with it as well, like maybe send an email notification to someone and say that this got added, or if I wanted to put a message in Slack or something like that, that's when I would use Flow to add that extra workflow, that extra process beyond that piece.
Right.
So do you tie that? Does it have to be tied to the form? Can it be tied to that flow? Can that flow be tied to the item inside SharePoint or either one? Or
that's interesting. You can do, there are a lot of different kind of ways that you can architect that. You can create a button right there in your flow. I mean, in your Power App, that would trigger a flow. So you can directly make a button trigger a flow from within it. You could also do the same thing. There's a Power App. Of course, we haven't even talked about mobile, but there's a Power App for your iOS. I think they have Android too. But there's a way to make it so that you could push a button there too to trigger your flow. But you could also still make your, you know, it's just a SharePoint list. So your flow is going to trigger off of either someone pushing a button in the Power App or typical ways that you'd trigger a workflow in SharePoint, like creating an item, editing an item, uploading a file. And then all the different other connectors also have their own available triggers. So for example, Instagram connector trigger might be uploading a photo with a certain hashtag. Or gotcha. So, and you mentioned those other services, if this then that, and Zapier. They you know, have simplistic workflows that you can create where you tie different services together. Well, that's the interface, of course, for Microsoft Flow is almost exactly the same as those. And you can say, you know, if this thing happens in one service, make something happen in another service. So even if you don't have anything going on in an Instagram connector inside of your Power App, you could still have your be creating an item in a SharePoint list inside of your Power App and then have the creation of that item trigger an Instagram post just from it being added to the SharePoint list. So there are kind of a lot of different ways you can slice and dice and decide which way to do it. You could still use SharePoint Designer workflows too. So it's just a SharePoint list.
I see. So really, I mean, Power Apps and Flow, they're made to work independently, but there's a lot of places where they make sense together, both tightly coupled or just as part of the overall thing, where maybe Flow is listening to an event or getting a trigger from somewhere else, like the SharePoint list that may have been created by the Power App.
Right.
I see.
Nice. It seems like a nice way to, especially with Flow, to be able to start doing things inside Office 365 triggered by stuff happening outside Office 365. Like maybe somebody filling in a form, but it could be something else, like, you know, a particular tweet, or like you said, an Instagram photo, or maybe a record in Salesforce or Insightly or some other sort of CRM system or something, and then starting a process that happens inside 365 based on that, like, I don't know, letting somebody know that a new customer has been entered into the CRM system or something like
that. Exactly. It's going to be really, really useful especially for Salesforce and CRM, because companies don't always purchase licenses for everyone in the whole company for something like Salesforce. It's just the salespeople that need it. But then, for example, you might have contacts in Salesforce that, you know, that have been fostered by the salespeople, but then need to go have SharePoint consulting done, and you need to do things in SharePoint, like create documents and have files associated with who that customer is and have information about the customer. And then you'd have to go two different places to look at it. But if you created a flow that gets triggered when a certain opportunity, say, is created in Salesforce and just goes over to SharePoint and creates an item in a list, and then the SharePoint people can go do the other thing with it. But at least you're not having to enter that same exact data about the customer in two different places.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. I can imagine, yeah, like you said, new customer gets registered or something, you create a group for them or a site to, you know, hold their stuff about their projects or their contracts or what have you. It'd be pretty interesting.
Think of all the custom programming you guys have had to do over the years when people want to tap into other data sources from within SharePoint.
We don't like to think about that,
Web
Laura.
Services and, yeah, all these fluted things people do, right? I know you've done it.
Writing the glue code is never fun.
Exactly. So how do people get this? Is this something you buy from Microsoft, or do you get it for free? Or is this, you know, part of 365? I mean, I've heard there's a little bit of part of 365, but you can still go get it independently or something like that. Tell us a little bit about how somebody would go purchase or use or get started with this.
Anyone can go to flow.microsoft.com and use either your Office 365 account or just any Windows Live account. So your Windows Live, Outlook, Hotmail, any of those, and those are free. So technically your mom could go create a Microsoft Flow.
No, steady on. Don't be giving her any ideas, Laura. I'll be getting automated reminders from Flow to call her.
So anybody can go to Flow and just authenticate with a Microsoft account or Office 365 account and start creating flows and just authenticate to all the services. But some of the services you'll see when you look at the list of connectors to create, some of them have the word premium next to them. So those aren't going to be part of what you get for free. Things like DocuSign.
Gotcha.
But then Power Apps is part of Office 365. So you actually do have to have an Office 365 subscription to use that. And then there are different levels of Power Apps. And those levels are going to depend on things like the number of connectors and some of those more premium connectors. And there's also this other thing called the Common Data Service. And that's where you start getting to maybe have to pay for Power Apps per user. But a lot of the easy business process stuff, you just get part as part of your subscription. I have an E1 subscription and I can do stuff in there.
Is the, when you, with Flow, do you have, or Power Apps? I know that with some of those services, I guess Zapier is more like Flow than it is than Power Apps, but with some of those services, you have a certain number of like executions that can run, not just with the premium service and everything, but with Flow, you have a certain number of, does Flow has a metric or trying to think of the name, but like a usage of how many times it can be used. Instances, there you go, yeah. That it can actually run before you have to start paying, or that you can pay for different levels and such.
And when you go to powerapps.microsoft.com and you click on pricing, it's got all that listed. So it's got like flows run per month per user. For the free one, it's 2,000. And then the next level up, it's 4,500 and, you know, that kind of thing. And then it's also got the number of data that you store in the common data service. So it's really charging you for, it's not really saying the number of connectors, it's just saying the number of flows run.
Number of executions.
But then some of the connectors are premium, so you get the more premium connectors themselves with the more expensive ones. But they're free trials for all of them.
Do you find that with one of the things that, like, to me, I found a little confusing when Microsoft started like positioning how this was going to be, how it was sold?
Things I think they were confused too.
Okay. Well, it's good to, I've seen that, you know, they just hired someone recently who was now in charge of the marketing story for Power Apps and Flow, if I'm not mistaken. Somebody
Our
that we know.
Our good friend, yes.
Yeah, Kathy Du, which.
Yeah, I'm so excited about that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to hear you say it because I thought the same thing. I was like, okay, someone who actually gets that audience is now in charge of talking to that audience. Like, instead of, it seemed like it was a, no offense to people who did it before, and I don't really know who it was, so I really don't even know who I'd be offending by saying this, but they didn't seem to, it would seem like it was more coming from the engineering side, and I felt like it was somebody like me talking to me about how I should be using this. And I'm like, I'm not the target audience for this, though, I don't think. I mean, I can be, but it seems like your audience, Laura, is more of the target audience for something like Power Apps. And while Flow is useful, like I'm a heavy Zapier user. Got to be careful I say that now because the word Flow is kind of, has a weird kind of. I want to say I'm a heavy Flow user too. It's like it sounds awkward with the terminology that's kind of used, but it didn't seem like it was a. It was hard to understand how things were packaged. It was hard to understand how things were priced and talking about per user and per the different executions and stuff. And so I didn't know, like, it's nice to see that someone now is in charge of that story that seems to better understand that audience. So hopefully things will get a little bit better. Huge. On the Microsoft side.
Yeah.
One thing I was just going to say on that is Power Apps and Flow come from a super technical part of Microsoft, right? They come from CNE, the Cloud and Enterprise Group, which is responsible for Azure and SQL Server and all these sorts of things. And it's no surprise that that's sort of their first foot forward was technical conversations and stuff. They're trying to sell to a business audience and try to sell to a productivity audience, which is not owned by the CNE group at all. It's owned by the Office 365 group or the productivity team at Microsoft. So it's nice to see them kind of get at least be self-aware that they don't have the skills to talk to the people they're trying to sell to and are hiring people like Kathy to help them with that, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yep. At first when they rolled it out, there wasn't really an idea of what or how the pricing was going to work. So I think they're kind of making it up as they go along. And so now they've got these premium connectors, it looks like.
I think what you mean is fast iteration and being driven by what customers say.
Yes, that.
Yeah, gotcha.
You're not too far removed from that marketing role, are you? You sound like you're straight out of the Office 365 Ooh. Developer group.
I need to go scrub myself, yeah.
Just say # fluffy words.
That's right.
You're past due on your shot, CJ.
Jazz hands. Nice. So, million-dollar question, SharePoint Designer or Flow?
There are a handful of things that you can do with Flow that you can't do with SharePoint Designer workflows. I still do 80-90% of the workflows that I do every day in SharePoint Designer because, you know, all just kind of really advanced stuff like variables and being able to have nested conditions and nested if statements and nested. Now, Flow is getting there, like they're adding a lot of these things as we go, but the interface is just completely different. I make heavy use of variables when I'm creating SharePoint Designer workflows, and just the interface of being able to see the whole thing and the way it's laid out, it's not just what I'm used to, but it's just what works for a lot of stuff right now. But then Flow has got things like it gives you the ability to send an email to somebody outside of your company. And it gives you the ability to set who the from is in an email. It gives you the ability to send attachments in an email, maybe like something from OneDrive or something from SharePoint, actually having an attachment. So there are a lot of like things like that here and there that you can do with Flow that you might want to take things that you were doing with SharePoint Designer and turn them into flows if those are the requirements that you need. But you're just going to have to decide right now what the requirements are and which one of those products is going to give you most of what you need, just per project, you know.
Hey, I hope to interrupt you there, but we should have a quick call out from one of our fantastic sponsors that makes this show possible.
Let's pay the bills.
The Microsoft Cloud Show is sponsored by Rencore. Rencore is a market leader in the code and analysis space. Founded and driven by high-profile international SharePoint and Office 365 experts, their main goal is to help any organization using Microsoft's enterprise productivity environments to work more efficiently by providing software that optimizes and secures their collaboration solutions. Rencore's most recognized product, the SharePoint Code Analysis Framework, SPCAF, is the de facto standard for verifying the quality, compliance, and governance of SharePoint and Office 365 customizations. If your company is using SharePoint or Office 365 and you're struggling to get your Office 365 and SharePoint customizations under control, check them out at spcaf.com to learn all the ways SPCAF can help you. All right, so we're back. I've got another tricky question, actually. We didn't talk about this one earlier, so you can punt if you don't feel comfortable about it. But say I'm a business, I got some SharePoint Designer workflows, I need something a little more elaborate. Do I go the Flow route or the Nintex route?
Ooh, well, depends on what you mean by elaborate. Well, I mean, Nintex, of course, there's a price to it as well. So Flow technically is free for anyone. So what is Nintex going to give you exactly that you can't get with Flow? So you'd have to just determine, you know, what for that situation.
What my requirements are.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes sense. We need to get them on the show at some point to talk about their new Nintex Workflow Cloud as well, which from what I understand it is quite different from their previous products, which kind of install on-prem or use an Office 365, but it's kind of a cloud version of their workflow solution. So we're going to get them on the show at some point to talk about that. But
that'll be interesting.
Can you get your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'd like to go back to the connectors for a second, ask you a couple questions about it. So when of the connectors that you've worked with when you're building business solutions with Power Apps and Flow, are there any that are like your earmark that you keep going back to, your go-tos or ones that you look at as saying these are more useful or these are more obscure and I don't really use these a whole lot? Or you have any your top fives or top whatevers?
Well, when I'm working on SharePoint projects, some of the typical just SharePoint ones that you can use are going to be things like creating an item, or well, of course, triggers, like when an item gets created, when an item gets modified. But when you're talking about all the different actions, you actually have a good, interesting list of within SharePoint what it gives you the ability to do. So, for example, you have things like create another list item, create an item in a library, go get some list items, copy a file, which is an interesting one, delete a file. So within just the SharePoint connector, you're going to have all those things having to do with working with items and entire lists and libraries and the files in those libraries. But then also when you're in Flow and you're kind of deciding what actions you want to use, don't forget to do a search for Office 365 because you have an Office 365 connector too, so not just a SharePoint one. So within Office 365, there's Office 365 Outlook, which has things that you can automate just within your mailbox, like within your own mailbox. So say when a certain thing arrives from a certain person, have that trigger something, or have automation around deleting contacts, getting attachments, getting calendars, everything to do with your calendars and your contacts and things like that within your Outlook. But then you also have the ability to tap into Office 365 users and Office 365 video. You can get profile information, direct reports, manager information. You can do searches for users within here. And you can tap into video. So SharePoint, Office 365, and Office 365 Outlook are going to be some big ones to use in there for day-to-day stuff. And then for more obscure ones, of course, you have all the little fun things like the ability to tap into, you know, for marketing. Like think about you and I with our small businesses and marketing things, what we might want to do. You have little fun things that you can do with Buffer and Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And there are a whole bunch of a plethora. Just, you know, kind of go look at the connectors in there when you go to, I think it's Microsoft, flow.microsoft.com/connectors. You have a lot of those social services that you can tap into, MailChimp and things like that, where you can automate some of your marketing efforts. And I know that you guys have done some of that as well with some of the other maybe automation products that are similar to this one.
Yeah. If there's one, if you look at Flow and there isn't or Power Apps and there isn't a connector that you're looking for, like you're looking for a specific connector or you're looking for to achieve a certain thing and you can't find a connector that's going to do that, is there a developer story to this or what is the developer story, extensibility story that Microsoft is pitching? Is there a way for me as a developer to go build a connector that I could either use myself or publish someone else? Or is it that I use one of the more generic connectors and as a developer, I just say, I'm going to go build something and say an Azure function and have Power Apps call that by submitting to a web service or something like that?
I am not a developer, but I think that developers can create their own connectors.
Oh, okay. Are the connectors just Office 365 connectors or are they specific connectors for Power Apps and for Flow?
When you look at your list of connectors, it's going to be the same list for your Power Apps and your Flow. Does that answer your question?
Are they also like Office 365 groups connectors in a sense? Like are these the same connectors? Like is the word connector being overused or are they actually the same things, do you know?
A group has got lists and libraries in it. So when you're tapping into that, it's just the same thing as a SharePoint connector. So you would type that in, that URL in.
I think what AC is talking about is there's also connectors for groups that let you tap into things like Trello and external services, but I'm pretty sure they're totally different.
Yeah, it does. It's a different list of things. Yeah.
So overloading the term.
Okay. When you said groups for group connectors, I thought you meant connectors through here to do something in a group, but you mean connector screen inside of a group. Okay.
Right. Yeah. The thing that when you're in groups and you want to say, I want to go through and add a connector or connection to, like, say, Trello, is that Trello connector that I'm using, is that the same connector that I can use over in Flow or in groups? So it sounds like that's no.
No. But what you're doing with the connectors is completely different in a group than what you'd want to do with them over in Flow too, though. Because in a group, a lot of times you're looking at a feed of information. Mm. And I don't know. It's different. No,
it makes sense. Just overloading of the term.
I was going to say, so say I'm a user in an organization and I go create a flow that looks at Twitter and says, every time I see a hashtag with WonderLaura, I want to go create a new site in SharePoint in Office 365. And then I'm
obviously... a lot of sites.
Exactly, right? Like thousands and thousands and thousands of sites. So say I'm that random user and I really don't know what I'm up to, and I go create one of these things and they start getting created, and then I get fired for being an idiot. And not necessarily for doing that, but just in general. And so I leave, and I've got this flow running in my organization that's just like bombarding my Office 365 instance with new sites that are being created, or even lists or items in a list or what have you. And it's literally like basically importing Twitter into a SharePoint site. Does IT and the company have any control over the flows that I create and what I'm doing to potentially mess up my Office 365 environment for the company or something like that?
Sort of. People have been yelling about that. So they've been adding stuff at a feverish pace, adding capabilities around that. So when Flow first came out, it was just my flows and that's all there was to it. And anybody can create whatever they want that they can authenticate to. But now when you look in just in the past month or so, when you look in your Office 365 admin center, you'll actually see admin in the admin center. You'll see in the list of other admin centers, Power Apps and Flow, which either one of those you click on, it takes you to the same place. So your admin center for that is going to have a list of all your apps, a list of all your connections and flows and gateways. But it gives you the ability to, let's see, create what's called, and I'm clicking through here, create sort of little environments that where you can control what's going on in the environment. For example, I can say in this environment, these are the users that are allowed to create things in here. And then these are the services that they're allowed to tap into. Then you can define admins and makers inside of those environments. And you can even give an environment a common data service database as well.
Gotcha.
So that's
some nice controls over who can do what in your organization.
Yeah, so when you're an end user and you see your name at the top right of the screen in Office 365, when you're in your sort of Power Apps and Flow interface, you can actually toggle between different environments and you'll have different capabilities that maybe have been defined for you in those different environments.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
But I don't think an admin can go mess with other people's flows. I'm still not sure how that part works. Maybe I'm missing something though.
Mm. What's that common data service thing? You've mentioned it a couple of times. But you mentioned, you know, getting a database or something along those lines. What does that give your flow?
That's an interesting new concept. The common data service is kind of like having a little relational database just floating there in the cloud. So think about things that you used to do with Microsoft Access, or even things that you do with SharePoint lists, and having just different tables related to each other and tables with fields in them, and creating basically any kind of business process or business app using that as your database, but you're just building it in the cloud. It's pretty cool. So you'd build that as for your data, and then build all your tables and your fields in there, and then you'd use Power Apps to build the user interface part of it.
I see. So rather than having to go build out a set of lists in SharePoint to go store that data, you could use this thing in the common data service to do that.
Yes.
And other Power Apps could use the data that another Power App actually saved to that common data service, or is it unique to each one?
It's not unique to each one. So different power apps could be tapping into the same data, just like different power apps could be tapping into the same SharePoint list.
So do you know what the scope of that is? Like, is it a tenant thing or is it like a site thing?
It's in the environment. So when you go to Office 365 admin and you go to like the Flow and the Power Apps admin, you'll have environments that you can create. So then you create an environment, and in that environment, you can create the common data service. So you can have like maybe an HR environment where you'd have all their data and their apps, and then you'd have like an IT environment. And so that's why you create different environments and define different people and their roles in those.
So those environments are kind of like groupings of people and connectors and permissions and things like that.
Right. So you've got roles and permissions in there. You've got information about the database. And then you've got what are called data policies, which is where you can define the connectors that you're going to allow to use in that environment.
Interesting. I got to go try some of this out.
You
motivated. I need to go build myself a power app.
And a common data service thingy.
Yeah, totally. Thingy. I like that.
Yeah. I wanted to go have a play with do more of that with play with Flow, because like I said, I've been using Zapier for a lot of this stuff for doing, like, we do a lot of automation with the podcast. And so when we see things like, we subscribe to a bunch of different technical blogs from like the Office 365 blog, Office 365 developer, Azure, AWS, Google Cloud Platform. And when we see new tweets come in, when Zapier sees new tweets from any of those posts, it saves them to a spreadsheet. And then we have another thing kick off that looks at it, runs it through some JavaScript, does some string replacement. So if it sees the word Laura Rogers in there, the two words Laura Rogers, it replaces that with your Twitter handle and then puts it back in the spreadsheet, which then another one kicks it, grabs it, and puts it into Buffer.
I totally need to do that too.
Oh, it's great. I mean, it's great because it makes the podcast kind of turn into a little bit of like a news source. Also makes it, helps us with the, kind of visibility with it. But it's really nice to be able to see those different things. I do it for like the startup that I'm working on, or the training company I'm doing, where I've got things with Zapier that are posting to a channel inside of a Slack team that I've got set up, so that whenever I see someone have a mention of the company name somewhere, I can see if it shows up on Facebook, if it's showing up on Twitter, if it's showing up in Reddit, or even just doing like Google searches, like every once a day it goes in and runs a search and shows me all the news.
Sentiment analysis.
Yeah, exactly. All that stuff. I mean, and it's weird because you have all these loosely coupled services, and it'd be nice to kind of have them all, a place where you can kind of wrap your arms around all of it. And I've been using Zapier for that kind of stuff. I like their interface, but I've wanted to try it, see how does Flow kind of compare to it. So you've got me, like CJ said, you got me interested to go through and to try and go play with Flow a little bit.
Yeah, it's some nerdy fun.
Hey, AC.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go talk to one of the fantastic people that make this show possible, one of our sponsors.
The Microsoft Cloud Show is sponsored by ShareGate. ShareGate makes it easier for organizations to adopt and use the latest Microsoft productivity tools, helping millions of users to be happier and more productive at work. ShareGate is trusted by over 10,000 IT admins from over 110 countries to manage, migrate, and secure their SharePoint and Office 365 environments. ShareGate is recognized as the must-have tool for day-to-day administration of on-premises, cloud, and hybrid environments. Interested in learning more? Check them out at ShareGate.com to learn how ShareGate can make you more productive.
All right, we're back. So Laura, Power Apps and Flow, they seem to be the cool, trendy kid on the block. Where do you think this stuff is going to go over the next 12 months, 24 months, something like that?
Wow, you look out far.
They are.
Okay, maybe IT, 2 weeks, 24 weeks.
Hey, now we're talking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's definitely moving fast. It's one of those things that I plan on putting a Power Apps and Flow class in my repertoire on my IW Mentor website. And I keep thinking I'm going to create the class once it stops changing, but I don't think that's going to happen. It's being improved for the better. So I really like the fact that they're really on the ball. And so where it's going is they're adding more and more connectors. They just added like 20 more or something just this week. They've got WordPress in there and Pinterest and just a ton of things. And then Power Apps, they're continuously getting feedback from the community on the way you'd want the interface to work and the way, that audience uses products like that. And so they're constantly doing little improvements here and there that you'll find that make it a little easier to create Power Apps and a little bit more intuitive. So I think that it's moving fast, and it's definitely the direction to go, as opposed to, don't create any more new info platforms, please, people.
There's your non-call to action.
I bet there's just, you know, 1,000 voices just being silenced, just like that, where they're like, oh, but that's what my company tells me to do. And now Laura's telling me I'm doing it wrong.
If you have to, create a SharePoint list and customize it with InfoPath, because then at least you have the data in the list, and then you could tap into that list with a Power App.
Well, that's a nice idea. So your data is going to be somewhere that you can effectively, when the time comes and you convince your management chain that InfoPath is not the new modern kid on the block, and you want to move to something like Power Apps or some other solution, then at least your data's in the right spot and you can build on that, yeah?
Exactly. And, you know, as soon as your CIO opens up his phone and tries to fill an InfoPath form out on the phone, he's going to realize you can't. So Power Apps is beautiful on your mobile devices and awesome. And there are apps for Flow and Power Apps in there.
I'm guessing they're not on-prem, though. None of this stuff is on-prem, right?
It is. Well, so Flow, it of course, is not on-prem, but anyone can go create an account and tap into services. But the connectors are what you're going to do. So you're going to have a gateway. If you have data on-prem, you're going to create this gateway connector that will have, you know, a bunch of magic and authentication going on inside of there. And that's how you're going to be able to tap into that on-prem data.
On-prem data sources. Mm-hmm. I see. Mm-hmm. So you still got to be, your company's still got to be cool with the cloud. But what you're saying is, if you're cool with the cloud and you're okay to use Flow, then there's still a way to get access to those data silos and bits and bobs on-prem, right? Like SQL databases or file shares or what have you.
Oh, yeah. Or, you know, just put your data in Azure. You don't need to have it on-prem SQL, right?
I mean,
there you go.
I was sort of getting it like, you know, these companies have these old legacy systems, right? Like, I don't know, time recording system or what have you, right? And that might be in a SQL database on-prem, but at least there's a way to get to it.
That's true, yeah. So Power Apps, though, you have to have Office 365 license to be able to use that. But for the connector, though, you can still have, like, if you have a hybrid scenario, you'd still be able to tap into the data in both places. And you could go across sites. Like, you could have something happen in one SharePoint site on premises, trigger something to happen in a SharePoint site in the cloud, or even, you know, two different sites in two different farms, or like whatever you can authenticate to. So think about the possibilities with that for people that have multiple farms and multiple, you know, hybrid environments.
Mm. Automate all the things.
Yes.
All the things.
No code.
It's really cool how you can just, like, going back to what I was saying earlier about how you can bring things together in so many different places and pull them all at one, you know, pull them all kind of in one place, or to have different parts of a process be able to suck into the other existing process and do some sort of workflow with it. It's really cool how you can, I guess in one sense, it's really cool how you can make things so loosely coupled, but it also has got to get pretty confusing pretty quick too when things do get so loosely coupled. It's like, wait, where's this data going? Where are we pulling this from, this spot over here? And
that is very true. Yeah, you don't want it to go crazy like SharePoint and other things end up going. So yeah, keep a handle on it.
Gotcha. Hey, so IW Mentor, this is your new venture, and you've talked about training a little bit and things. What are your plans around IW Mentor in the next wee while? You doing courses on this stuff now you've decided, hey, it's changing too often, I can't wait for it to stop?
Well, no, I mean, I found that there are a couple of different levels of power users. So I have two different levels for power user classes. I have what I call power user level one, which is people that are brand new to SharePoint but want to get ramped up to become a power user. And then the power user level two is for people that are technically already power users and like pretty advanced, all, you know, list settings and content types and advanced things like that, you know, web parts and web part settings. But then I have a really advanced class called Workflows and Forms. It's a lot of fun, and it's 4 days, it's 16 hours of instruction, and it's everybody gets an environment to work in and lots of labs to build, and we're actually learning advanced SharePoint Designer 2013 workflows and how to build an entire business solution starting from gathering requirements and building out and talking about the user interface and talking about the workflows and the lists and the forms and putting web parts on pages. And so in the class, the students all build their own entire solution. It's really fun, really advanced class.
Cool. So is that on demand, or is that in like sort of live in person or over the tubes, or what's the deal?
Either. You can do it on demand or live. And on demand, you get your own environment and your own login in my IW Mentor tenant and all the labs and the video recordings of the last class that I taught.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Really cool.
That's very cool. Where do people find out more about that?
IWMentor.com.
Well, there you go. That's the easiest spot to find.
I just visited and I got the little pop-up with you looking very sophisticated on a headset there where you can go sign up for your mailing list. I guess if people want to hear more about the courses and stay up to date with what's going on, that's the place to go?
Yes.
You do Power Hour as well, right?
Yeah, that's what I'll just say. I have my SharePoint Power Hour that's free every Wednesday at 11 Central. It's a little live broadcast that I do. Just various random things in SharePoint Office 365. I did a cool demo of Microsoft Teams a couple weeks ago where I had a bunch of people in the Power Hour live going into my tenant in Teams, and we're all kind of creating that stuff and trying it out and playing around in it as I did the demo and the recording. It streams live on YouTube. And then I did a demo of Power Apps, I believe it was last time. And so, yeah. I need to think of some more topics. There's never a short supply of topics when it comes to SharePoint, especially with this fast rate of change. But yeah, that's a lot of fun, and you never know what's going to happen because it's live. And they're all recorded. Exactly. They're all out there on my channel. It's called Wonder Laura. We've got hundreds of them. We've been doing it for probably 3 years.
That's awesome.
Very cool. Very cool. So where's the best place to find you? I guess we've got wonderlaura.com is where you blog, I guess, and sort of more personal sort of stuff. Anyway, you know what I mean.
My personal SharePoint blog.
That's right. Your personal SharePoint blog. Right. IW Mentor is obviously your training business. Where can people find you on Twitter and so forth?
Wonder Laura.
Oh, that's easy. There you go.
Or IW Mentor. And somebody asked me the other day, well, why would I want to follow both of them? I do tweet different things from those two different accounts. So IW Mentor is going to be more focused towards IWs.
See, I would have said because you can't get enough.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you need to double up the following. Excellent.
Oh, and go subscribe to my YouTube channel. Don't forget.
Oh, there you go. Definitely. We will make sure that we include all links to all of that your blog, to the website, Twitter, the YouTube channel for IW Mentor and for the Power Hour and everything. We'll make sure we put links to all of those things in the show notes. So if you're driving along and listening to this and you're trying to frantically take notes, stop, drive, and just come back and get it later. And you'll get an email in your inbox with all of the info as well.
I got to drive to Portland this afternoon. So I think I might have to download like hundreds of those Power Hour videos and crunch them on my drive to Portland. So
you can't watch and drive. It's dangerous.
No, just isn't it? But you got audio too, right? I could listen to like a podcast, I guess.
Sure,
I can.
Yeah, he's got a self-driving car, so it's a little different. He freaks me out. He's like, "Oh yeah, I took." Anyway, we won't get him in trouble on the podcast.
That's okay. I got in trouble yesterday. I was putting those little. You seen those? What are they called? Nano mounts. I think I saw it from your car, CJ.
Oh, the little magnetic doodads?
Yeah, and you put a little magnet on the back of your phone, so you just kind of sticks to your phone. Well, we get two of them, one for each one of our cars, and you get like a circle that you can put on your phones. And then I'm sitting in the kitchen, and I took my iPad, and I put the little things on the back of my iPad, and my wife's like, what are you doing? What are you doing that for?
Yeah, I thought you had a 55-inch screen in that thing that you could get like HD movies in your passenger seat or something.
No videos.
Anyway, we better let Laura go. So Laura, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate coming on the podcast, telling us and our listeners all about what you're up to with IW Mentor and also the world that is Power Apps and Microsoft Flow and what's going on in the world of information worker productivity. So again, thanks again for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Laura.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show, and we'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or MP3 and provide us a link so we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is an excerpt from Evaporated Eric by Monk Turner, used under Creative Commons. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and the Google Play Store by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find show notes for each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up to our mailing list by heading to our website and entering your email to interact with us. Participate in upcoming interviews and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.